Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180.
Midday 180.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharsky.
It's Austin Price. He's nice enough to join us from VolQuest.com to take a 15 minutes or so out of his time watching the Masters to pick up the phone and join us to give us the latest on the Tennessee Volunteers at spring practice. Austin, how are you?
I was hoping we'd just talk Masters all day.
We shouldn't have even asked him, huh? Like, where'd you have to go to do this?
He's watching.
So, luckily, you know, the old Apple TV works out quite well with the Masters app. So.
I thought you were there. What's your day there?
I was there Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's back. He's ready to go. He's ready to talk some football.
Yeah, you weren't coming on Wednesday. That's my point.
That's correct.
Austin, what are you watching for tomorrow in the first spring scrimmage for the Vols?
Well, you know, obviously we won't be able to watch any of it outside of the individual period or so that they have open. But, you know, there'll be enough people in attendance with the coaches' clinic to get some semblance of a vibe of, you know, what happened.
What are you telling people that you know that will be watching it to watch for?
Have you put a high school coach on retainer so they can give you info on practices since they're allowed there?
I got 1,000 of them on retainer. you know, I'm looking to see, one, how Jared Garantano does. Two, you know, who steps up. Pruitt's talked about the cream rising to the top. You know, does Sean Schamberger take a step forward? I've been told by multiple people that he's had a really good week of practice. And, you know, they've challenged him hard because I think they expect the most out of him at defensive back. And then, you know, who can get to the quarterback? You know, when the offensive line does do a decent job in protecting, you know, who can still make a play? You know, is that Daryl Taylor standing up? Is that, you know, John McConbo from a three technique or a five technique? I mean, you know, that to me, that's tomorrow what I'm looking for. And then the running back spot, you know, it's something that, and they go to the opposite corner from the defensive backs, furthest away from the media. Don't see them a whole lot over there in our open portions. You know, what's Ty Chandler do? What's Princeton Fant do? What can the running backs accomplish coming up tomorrow in the scrimmage?
Austin, we've talked about the quote from Jeremy Pruitt before about them wanting to be the most accessible program in America to high school football coaches. And then I'll sort of get started this weekend with their big coaching clinic. And I believe you guys at VolQuest actually retweeted a tweet from a coach who was in a training session with Jeremy Pruitt where they asked one question about some sort of defensive alignment, and he spent 45 minutes talking about it before they got to a second question. This seems to be his element when he's around high school coaches. I know there's a lot planned this weekend with some different big-time speakers coming in. How big of an event is this for Jeremy Pruitt and what he wants to accomplish at Tennessee?
I think it's a big event, you know, and they've done a nice job. I mean, you know, David Cutcliffe's a great, you know, keynote speaker. Peyton Manning's done it before, and you know, he'll always carry some weight. I think more impressive is the fact they have Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, who's speaking today. Tomorrow, New England offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels is speaking. You know, D2 and D3 coaches from, you know, some of the premier programs at that level are also speaking. So to me, it's not necessarily the, you know, the combination of Philip Fulmer and David Cutcliffe and Peyton Manning. It's all the other people, Vrabel and McDaniels. That's why I would go. I think those are very, very enticing speakers. And then, you know, in talking to some high school coaches, you know, they're really, really excited to hear some of those D2 and D3 coaches, because sometimes at the high school level, you know, you get a lot of innovative thoughts from that D2, D3, because you're having to be more innovative because you're not just rolling out there with five stars, just running it or jamming it down somebody's throat.
What kind of feedback are you hearing on Craig Fitzgerald and his program with trying to get this team bigger and stronger?
You know, you can tell some of the guys, you know, and I hate to hype the strength coach because Tennessee's been through, you know, a Baker's dozen in the last 10 years. You know, I think he's doing a good job. You can tell a big difference in some of the players. I'll say this, the injured players that aren't going through practice on a daily basis, and I'm talking about Todd Kelly Jr. and Juwan Jennings and Trey Smith, you can tell after a couple of weeks they wish they were going through practice every day, because it is a grind over on the side. I mean, it is. It, you know, you're over there in the pit, you know, and it's a grind. I mean, it is. It's nonstop. They're on the bikes. They're working sledgehammers. They're working everything. And those guys, I think, to me, have it more rough than, you know, the player that's being asked to, you know, really, you know, go through every rep of spring practice, because it is a grind over there with Fitzgerald and the rest of his strength coaches. And so I think that the returns have been really good from everyone I've spoke to, just because it's so different compared to what Ruck Gullickson taught or any other strength coach Tennessee's had around here in quite some time.
They're really thin on the offensive line. We all know that. But because they're thin there, it's a lot of opportunities for some players, some in-state players. K'Ron Calvert from Warren County, Hutton's neck of the woods. Jeremy Carvin from Cordova getting a lot of looks also. Ryan Johnson getting a lot of time at center. How do you think this helps those guys, specifically the three I just named? And do you feel like Ryan Johnson may have found a home at center?
I think that he'll be the center heading into fall camp. And then I think the competition will be on a little bit more there, just because if you can get back, you know, Calvert at a more consistent, you know, clip, if you're able to get, you know, Trey Smith back, you know, Chance Hall, you know, Pruitt continues to maintain, he expects Chance Hall back for the fall. Now we'll see. I mean, you know, it's going to take a certain amount of time to rehab. Then he's going to have to get himself in shape. But that offensive line, which is real thin right now, may have a little more punch to it. I'm not saying they're going to be world beaters or, you know, some unbelievable unit, but they may have a little bit more punch to them come fall. And, you know, I think Ryan Johnson found a home at center. Calvert, you know, to me, it's big for him this spring to get back out there, because I think he's been beat down mentally so much because he's been injured in high school, injured in college. You know, it's easy just to get down on yourself and, you know, to get some praise from the coaches, to, you know, hear that, you know, you're doing some good things and that they like your game a lot. I think that, you know, gives him some motivation. And more than anything, he's looking for consistency. And then Jerome Carvin, the biggest thing with Jerome, just got to get in shape. You know, I mean, it's clear he's a little bit out of shape. And if he gets in shape, this staff loves him. I mean, they like him a ton. And they expect him to be a real factor for them on the offensive line this fall. You know, maybe at tackle or maybe at guard, depending on where Tennessee needs him the most.
So Tennessee gets a commitment from Daryl Middleton this past week, a Knoxville native who's taken a circuitous route to Tennessee. What can you tell us about his story and what led him back to Tennessee?
Well, he's the modern-day Gerald Williams. I mean, you go back. I mean, he committed as a high school freshman at Powell High School at the time to Tennessee, and that was about 6 years ago. And about 1 week, maybe 2 weeks right after he committed, they were Powell's in the middle of a playoff game, no less. And Darrell's over there on the side signed an autograph on the track during the game, you know. I mean, he was a freshman, so he got eat up by it, you know. You know, just really got caught up in the whirlwind that is recruiting, being committed at such a young age. And then, two, at the time, he was more of a receiver body. Well, then he continued to grow, and he continued to grow, and then he ends up at Oak Ridge. Well, he always thought he was a receiver. He thought it was Calvin Johnson, and he just wasn't. He was a defensive lineman who was masquerading as a receiver at the high school level, opposite of T. Higgins. And so it eventually ended up, you know, committing to Arizona State, and then ended up at the JUCO route because of grades. I talked to him when he was a freshman in high school when he committed to Tennessee. I talked to him a couple of nights ago when he recommitted to this staff. And a totally different kid. You know, does that mean he's going to be a world beater on the field? No. Does that mean he's totally, you know, flipped the script and got it all together? No. But you can tell that he understands that what he did 3, 4, and 5 years ago was not okay, and that he's had to adjust. And he's, you know, going the JUCO route, now that will break a man. I mean, you go – you know, the multiple JUCOs, he's now at East Mississippi, and, you know, he's missed, you know, not really played since his last year of high school football. So, you know, still looks great, 6'6", you know, 285 pounds, always looked like $1 million. And so, you know, we'll see if he can, if the motivation is there, and if he can turn the, you know, the light switch on, then maybe, just maybe, Tennessee gets a find. But right now, it's one of those things I'm going to have to see it to truly believe it, just because of past.
Austin Price, it's with VolQuest.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Austin Priceless. Austin, thank you. We will recap the scrimmage with you on Monday.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Yep. Austin Price, every Monday and Friday with us here on the Midday 180.
So Tennessee also got a commitment from a 3-star defensive tackle this week, Ladarius Cox from Mobile, Alabama. Daryl Middleton, the player we just talked about, no stars, has not played is such a mystery, but 6'6", 285, he played wide receiver in high school. It is an odd story. I remember him being a huge get for Butch Jones, as Austin said, 6 years ago when he was a high school freshman and committed. And it was a big story because he committed as a freshman, didn't have the grades to get into college after committing to Arizona State. Pete Prisco would have loved him. And then eventually goes the JUCO route.
I've got a prediction here. By the end of tomorrow, he will have some stars.